I'm Christine Dean, and this is Live from Studio A. And very excited to welcome back to our studios Martha Scanlon and John Neufeld. Martha has a new album out called The River and the Light that John played on and produced, right, as well. So happy to have you back. It's been a while.
Thanks so much for having us back. We're glad to be here.
I think it was 4 years ago last time you were here. And at that time, we found out that you are, although you're a Minnesota native, but it sounds kind of sounds like Montana is really kind of your home base as an adult.
Yeah, since I was about 18 or 19. Mm-hmm. So I've been living out west, but it's always great to come back. My accent comes back immediately. I speak the language.
Is there a Montana accent?
It's kind of a slowed down Midwestern accent, mm-hmm. and then there's like a little bit of South in it, in some, a lot of, well, I used to live in an old ranching community, and a lot of those families came up from the South, so there would be kind of a little Southern flavor.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah. And Martha and John have a show tonight at Beaner Central, and that starts at 7 o'clock, and local musician Ann Catherine, who is working on a new album, she is going to be opening up for that, so it should be a wonderful show. Why don't I have you get started with the song, and then we'll come back and chat a little bit about the album and what you've been up to in the last 4 years. That, you know, gives us lots to talk about, so.
Okay, great. All right, this is Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. A song called It's Not Supposed to Be That Way.
It's not supposed to be that way. Supposed to know that I love you. It don't matter anyway. If I can't be there to console you, it's like other children, they're gonna dream a dream or two. But be careful what you're dreaming, 'cause your dreams might be dreaming you. It's not supposed to be that way. Supposed to know that I love you. It don't matter anyway. If I can't be there to console you. Can't be there to console you.
Martha Scanlon and John Neufeld live from Studio A. And wow, what a nice tune. I don't think I know that one. And I kind of grew up on, you know, Willie and Waylon and all that stuff. Where is that one from?
Oh, it's so great. You know, I'm trying to remember what record that's from. I worked for an older cowboy, and he had an 8-track player in his basement. And it was one of the 8-track cassettes. You go down there and shoot pool and listen to it. So I can't remember what it's on.
That's wonderful. I love that. Wow, what a great tune. Well, welcome. And something that's different since the last time that you were here is last time you were acoustic, this time you've gone electric.
Yeah.
And this was a big change for you, it sounds like, for this new album. You decided to play electric.
Yeah, you know, it was just kind of a natural evolution. I'd been messing around with electric guitar for, you know, the months preceding when we started thinking about the record and working on songs and passing stuff back and forth. And John's such a great electric guitar player. And so, yeah, it just kind of naturally evolved that way.
Mm-hmm. And how long have you been playing guitar? Like, as far as, you know, singing, songwriting, guitar playing, which one came first in your life?
Well, I grew up in a musical family, so we were always singing, and I've got sisters, and so we just grew up singing a lot. And then I started playing guitar in my early 20s, and then started writing songs. When I moved to Tennessee to kind of get into old-time music in East Tennessee, and started writing songs there. I guess that would have been, you know, in the maybe 2001 or something, so... Yeah.
And that was a completely different kind of guitar. Last time you were here, you were talking about how fast you used to play.
It's just getting slower and slower.
Right, yeah.
Like my Midwestern slower accent.
So your guitar playing has really evolved from that very old-timey style and kind of through, you know, a different kind of acoustic style, now electric.
Yeah.
And so what inspired you to pick up the electric? Just seemed like fun when John did it, or
you know, my boyfriend had one, and I started messing mm-hmm. around with it, and then okay. I've just gotten really into it. It's such an interesting because the sound is coming from outside of you, so it's kind of this circular thing. It's very interesting, and it reminds me of playing fiddle a little bit because there's all of this sustain, and there's just such a neat groove about it, but and the whole kind of exploration we talked a lot about with the record, with rivers and, you know, there are currents of electricity and currents of rivers. And
the name of the album is The River and the Light. I was reading an interview with you, and you were talking about the currents. And definitely in listening to this album and how the guitars work together, there really is just this atmospheric and this kind of winding together sound that is just really, really lovely. So that's interesting that you actually kind of talked about that.
Yeah.
What did you talk about when you talked about that concept and as far as it related to the guitar playing?
Well, I know that, like, when Martha was working on these songs, the theme of water seemed to come up a lot, and specifically rivers. A lot of times it was like, kind of the way that things appear and then they're gone on if you're on the river, you know, going down, something just kind of is there, and then, you know, you're kind of rolling on by it, and like, oh, where did that come from? And so I wanted to try to encapsulate some of that, you know, where it feels like comfortable, but things kind of pop up and bubble up every once in a while that are unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of layers. It sounds most of the time like it's just two electric guitars, but there's a lot of things going on that's like, I don't know, I use like a dulcimer and an omnicord and then burra, like all these kind of funny instruments.
What was that last one you mentioned?
Oh, an embura.
Is that a thumb
like,
piano?
Yeah,
thing? Thumb. You're making gestures with your thumb, so I'm guessing.
Yeah.
I'm playing charades.
Oh, this
here.
Isn't on video. Right. It's one of these things.
Well, and there are some other interesting sounds on the album besides the guitars. You have a couple of guests on here, adding some. There's some really, really lovely fiddle from a couple of people. I think one is one of your bandmates in Black Prairie. Is that right?
Yeah, Annalisa.
John?
Yeah, she plays some. I think she ended up playing. Oh yeah, she ended up playing fiddle on a track and sang some on some other ones.
And then Dirk Powell does fiddle and accordion. Tell me about Dirk.
Oh, Dirk's great. He produced my first record, and he's an old kind of music friend and just really steeped in old traditions. His grandfather was a banjo player from Kentucky, and then he moved to southern Louisiana and got into Cajun music, and he lives there now. So we sent him tracks, and he it's always hard when people are on tour a lot to match up timing. There are a lot of funny things with this record. He just happened to be stuck at home because it was 11 degrees in southern Louisiana and everything was shut down. And so he had to put off a recording session he's supposed to be starting. And so he was sending stuff back to us. And it was really, I just love his playing so much on it.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And you did this album in Portland, right?
Mm-hmm.
And John, you produced it. And do you have a studio that you work in? Or
yeah, I just have a studio at my house. Mm-hmm. We tracked the album where we did Martha's last record at Type Foundry Studios
mm-hmm.
in Portland. So we tracked it there, then I mixed it and mastered it at my place. Added a few overdubs and stuff mm-hmm. at my house, but. Yeah, it was really fun, you know, and right up until the end, you know, she'd sometimes send me things recorded, I think, with your phone, or no.
Yeah.
She recorded, like, on that track, Too Late, the snare drum sound on there is her playing brushes and recorded it on her iPhone and sent it to me and put it in there, and it sounds good.
Wow, technology, amazing.
Yeah, John's high tech and I'm very low tech.
Well, and I want to talk about the songs and how the songs came together for the album. And John mentioned that there was kind of a water theme, which I'm assuming, is that something that you kind of noticed later, or is it something that was intentional, or how does that work for you when you're writing something?
Oh, that's interesting. I think, you know, some of it was just kind of an evolution, I think, from the last record. There was a lot of stuff with working on a ranch and the way that music and working with animals are so similar. You know, you're kind of riding these currents in this groove, just looking for the groove in things, you know, whether it's working with, you know, a herd of cattle. It's just about steering their flow and going with the way that they're flowing. And music is also very much that way. So I was kind of exploring that, and then it's just kind of been more. I also moved to the western part of the state, which is very river-like. There are a lot of rivers in western Montana. I live close to a creek that eventually flows into the Columbia and flows by John's house.
Yeah.
Oh, that's lovely.
Interesting.
I love that.
That's amazing. I didn't know that.
I actually didn't think about that till right now. I was like, wow, it's kind of mind-blowing.
Wow.
Yeah, so there were just some interesting things happening with all of that, and it's the way that John works, especially in the way that we play together, is always very improvisational. So you're just kind of finding the currents in that. So, yeah, I love John's production on this record so much. It just, to me, it's such a collaborative. It has my name on it, but it's, mm-hmm. yeah, I just love it.
Mm-hmm. What is it that you love about it? Is it something you can put into words? I know sometimes things are just kind of, you just feel it.
I think that he has a way of being so in the moment when he's playing music, and he also produces that way. So, you know, he's just adding different layers. But somehow it keeps the vulnerability of the moment really alive. It all ends up feeling really alive. And I just think it's really unusual and really beautiful.
Well, I think, was it the first track, Brother Was Dying, that you did really quickly? Like you had just written it and then you recorded it right away? And
yeah, I'd been working on it, but the words weren't quite coming together. And yeah, so we just kind of finished it and recorded it. And it was like, yeah, that happens. Or like the last song is the first time we played music together.
Oh, yeah.
In like a number of weeks.
Yeah. We were like, couple of years ago, we were on this kind of roll of flying in somewhere, meeting at a radio station and not having played together for like 2 or 3 weeks and being like, well, hey, how's it going? Oh, yeah, there's an interview happening. Okay, well, let's start playing music.
Well, if there's any catching up you need to do, yeah, you know, right. Before, you're welcome to do it during the session here.
Oh, well, we kind of are. Like, yeah, I just thought about this thing about the creek and the river.
I'm like, oh, that actually happened.
Well, and that's kind of the beauty of being, you know, experienced musicians, where, you know, you can just jump in and flow with it, as you were saying, and see what happens. So, when you were first starting out, do you think that would have been as easy, or you would have had, you
know? That's kind of how we knew that it was a good combination for the two of us, because we started out by, I didn't know her songs, and we went and played at a festival.
Mm-hmm.
We played maybe like 3 or 4 of them the day before, and then it was like, let's save the rest for the stage. And I was learning as the weekend went on, and then 2 weeks later, I flew out. So I literally met her the day before we played this festival, and then 2 weeks after the festival, I flew out to this ranch, and we made a record out there. Fast friends.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And that was, I believe, the Pickathon Festival, and it looks like you're playing that again this year. Have you played it much since then? Or?
No.
I just had
full circle.
I was looking through my email for, you know, to see if to find more information on the album, and that happened to pop up that you were on the Pickathon Festival, and I thought, wait, I think that's where they first started. So that'll be nice, kind of back where it all started.
And it's not always perfect, but I'd rather something just be alive than perfect.
Mm-hmm, right?
Like there was like the song that I thought would be really beautiful, like the lullaby that we ended up recording on this last record, that I started like 5 keys too low. there have been some interesting moments.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally. But you know, I think the thing that we were talking about here about music and keeping it alive, it's kind of like what you said, you know, well, you're an experienced musician, so you can kind of do that. I've lately been thinking about it in the way of like language. Like I don't wake up practice talking to have a conversation that day, or think about what I'm going to say before somebody says something, you know? And I think it's the same way with music after a while, where it's an instrument, but it's like, you have to kind of be in the moment to use it.
You kind of become fluent in it.
Yeah. You don't want to just like practice saying the same word over and over.
Right.
And people would be like, wow, that's really great the way you say that word. I mean, maybe some people are that way, but
you say that word better than anyone ever has.
I can't believe the way your diction is amazing.
Interesting. Okay, that's an interesting way to think about it. Well, let's hear another song and then come back and chat a little bit more. What do you want to play next?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
West Virginia Rain?
Oh, yeah.
An A and stuff.
Right, an A.
It's a song from the new record. West Virginia Rain.
stranger as a CNO. 1040 carried me away. I got to rambling. I took to gambling. I suppose I was tired to do it anyway. Dead broke and all alone and too proud to go home. I got me job on the railway. Cars and the bars and the sweet dreams. Coal cars that roll every day. Steam and the crow and the money sent home. And the whistle at the Logan County Way. Miners been striking, 1-2 are lacking. When the orders came to us to haul it all away, still see their coal covered faces. Sagging with the weight of the pain, rolling through the West Virginia rain. But the feeling stays on, and it lingers in the mind like a stain, washed out in the West Virginia rain. Thank you.
Martha Scanlon with John Neufeld live from Studio A, and that was one from the new album, The River and the Light. Lovely. Just love that one. And anything you can tell me about that one, Martha, where that one came from?
Boy, I have to think about that. Sorry, I was lost in like how funny it was that I messed up the last song after I talked about like how awesome it is. You know, sometimes stuff goes off the rails, but don't worry, it won't happen here. It is better than starting the song like five keys too low.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yep,
super awkward.
Mm-hmm. I imagine.
Anyway, so that last song. Boy, you know, like, I just find the whole process of songwriting so interesting. And, you know, things just kind of show up. And a lot of times it's a work of kind of a process of discovery of like, oh, like, why is that there? Or what does this all mean? Or it's kind of finding out what it's about. And oftentimes I feel like they end up being about something that hasn't happened yet, or maybe they get informed by other things that, you know, when people interact with them and engage with them, I feel like it changes them when they come back mm-hmm. and the next time we play them. So, yeah, I don't, you know, I think there's a lot of kind of loss, and that's woven throughout the record, really. Mm-hmm. And so the song Brother Was Dying is, yeah, there's a lot of that throughout that, but we're also kind of all here for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're all somewhere on that spectrum. So mm-hmm. in this time of division, it's interesting to find things that are common.
Yes, absolutely. We don't do enough of that for sure. I'm thinking again about, you mentioned that song again, and that one was written fairly quickly, and you talk about how you improvise when you perform. So I imagine things really evolve, especially a song like that, that you laid down pretty quickly, and that it probably has evolved a bit since you put it on the record.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it goes a little longer, sometimes a little shorter. You never know.
Well, that must keep things interesting. So when you started, when you picked up the electric guitar, did that kind of inspire anything, you know, any different approach to songwriting? Or what did that change about your songwriting? Or did it just give you another tool in your palette that you work with?
Oh, that's interesting. You know, I'm not sure. I feel like it has evolved, but I feel like the way it's such a different instrument that my playing is different. There's a whole physiology that it's way more relaxed, or you have to be more relaxed. And yeah, just I'm not sure how it's changed yet, but I know that it has.
Mm-hmm.
But that's such an interesting, you're such a great interview. It's such an awesome conversation.
Oh,
seriously,
thank you.
It's so interesting.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it helps to have good raw material here. So, okay, well, that's great. Yeah, I don't know how to take compliments. I'm Minnesotan. Compliments just throw me right off.
You guys just compliment each other back and forth. It'll just be dead air in between.
I know. Is it?
Oh,
is
this old thing?
But that's so, it seems like that would be so fun to have something new to kind of play with. And there's so many more pedals involved, I would think, with electric guitar. And so that,
yeah,
like suddenly,
can be, for sure.
Suddenly tones, you can think about different tones and,
yeah.
Now I don't know about you, John, like when did you first start playing guitar?
I started playing guitar when I was 13.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh my gosh. 30 years ago.
And I'm imagining it was something completely different than what you are doing now, sound-wise. Were you a little folk kid?
No, it definitely has evolved a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I started playing guitar back then. I was playing drums since I was a little kid, and when I was about 13, I heard this album Friday Night in San Francisco with Al DiMeola and Paco de Lucia and John McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm. Which is, that's more kind of in the jazz realm, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I play a lot of that stuff too. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so I was really amazed by that when I first started playing guitar. And now I love to, like, probably one of my favorite guitar players is, you know, like Daniel Lanois, people like that. Some of their stuff where it's like this soft edges.
Well, and it's not, and I actually was thinking this as you were playing the last song, it's not flashy,
right.
It's just right. Like, you're trying to find the just right thing to fit in there.
Right.
You're not trying to show off, you're trying to be expressive, I guess.
Yeah.
And so you're an expressive guitar, and like, I can totally see that Daniel Lanois is that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great players, not just like him, but that's an easy one to point to because a lot of, I think a lot of the production stuff that he's done or that Brian Eno has done and people like that, it's been like this, it's more about the space that you're in than any one element kind of creating that space.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's kind of what my... I feel like my playing is more involved too, where I don't necessarily practice the guitar a lot like I used to. I think of it as an instrument to pick up, like it may be something else that will make that sound that you want to say something with. But first you have to have a thought and then you pick up the instrument.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Are you influenced him in production as well when you do production?
I'm sure. Yeah. I don't know that I've ever taken anything literally from like, articles I've read about him and interviews and then tried them out in the studio in that way, but I just listen to music a lot and I appreciate music that you can keep turning up and it never like gets fatiguing on your ears, and that's the kind of sounds I go for, is like trying to find that thing. Not that I like to listen to music even that loud, but just that, you know, it doesn't jump out and grab you right away. Like, you have to kind of keep going in there and finding the other layers.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we have time for one more. What do you want to wrap up with here, Martha?
Brother Who's Dying?
Yeah. Sure. Why not?
A nice little cheerful title for the end of our...
Nice cheery one.
Such a pleasant interview, like wah wah.
I had that thought when I, you know, I get the emails about it, and the first single is "Brother Was Dying," and my sense of humor is like, that's the big hit single. But it's a lovely song, so
that's why we're so huge in Nashville.
Exactly,
like,
exactly.
The hit machine. Always remind people of their mortality right out of the gate. They love it.
I was like thinking that I said something right along those same lines right before, when I was just like, I like music that doesn't like hit you right away, right when you start listening to it. I have to peel back the layers to see if you like it or not. Maybe not the thing you want to hear.
But it is actually, in my mind, it is a really kind of a positive song, you know, or just like how we're moving through each day, really.
Yeah.
You know, and just the kindness of seeing people also on that journey and reminding them, you know, of whatever, of the current or themselves. Or
there's so much beauty along with the darkness in that experience. You know, they're really just, without the darkness, you wouldn't find that beauty. And so I think,
yeah,
that's,
and I was thinking about the memorial service for that dog, service dog.
Mm-hmm. So. We were talking about the service dog that passed away here in Duluth, and the memorial is coming up this afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's sweet. We'll send that out to the pup. And thanks so much again for having us. It's just such been a lovely conversation. Thank you.
Wow.
That's a starter.
That's the other reason we're huge in Nashville. Yeah, right. Mortality and discord equals money.
Yeah, right. Keep fresh.
All right. Here we go.
You're young.
Martha Scanlon and John Neufeld live from Studio A. They are playing again tonight at Beener Central at 7 o'clock, and Catherine, local musician, opens the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Always a pleasure to have you drop by. See you in 4 years, probably.
Sooner than that. We're already working on our next record.
What?
In our minds.
What? Really? Really? Yeah. Okay.
That's right.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. Looking forward to that. Thank you so much. Today's Live from Studio A was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Emma Gilhausen, with funding provided by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening. Here's Roma DeLuna.